Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Normally, on our show, we don't get into conspiracies or conspiracy theories unless they specifically impact our main genre, of course, which is the world of the strange and unexplained. And sometimes they do. There are a number of conspiracy broadcasts, news broadcasts that deal with conspiracies and talk about them, expose them, deal with conspiracy theories and talk about them. And sometimes there are people that demand for those hosts to talk about UFOs and extraterrestrials, and sometimes they do. And there are folks that demand that folks in my genre talk about conspiracies, and sometimes we do. But generally, they are two separate genres, and the reason for that is both genres really demand focus. They really do demand intense focus. Tonight, my guest is the host of a show that does deal with conspiracies, not exclusively, but that is something that they deal with and talk about. They focus on that information. The show is called The Last American Radio Broadcast, and the host of that show is Brian Stavely, who joins us live tonight. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, sir. Thank you. Brian, let's talk about the show, your show, for just a minute, and then we'll talk about some conspiracies. But sure. When did your show begin?
We actually just launched the radio network about 2 weeks ago. We just launched it, so we've only done I've probably done about 10 broadcasts so far.
Uh huh. And I read that you had originally wanted to be a sportscaster.
Yes,
and
that's right.
How did this happen? How did you get from sportscaster to dealing with this kind of really heavyweight information?
Yeah. Well, the way it happened is, I was like a lot of Americans. I was, just oblivious to a lot of the stuff that's really going on, that's kind of behind the scenes that you're not finding out from the mainstream. And, I was really, really into sports. And I would go to, 10 baseball games a year and, 4 or 5 football games. And I'd watch all the games all the time. And I was really into it. And I wanted to be on the radio for it. I wanted to do sports broadcasting. So I went to broadcasting school and everything. I worked at a radio station just for about a year, just producing Red Sox games and producing some minor league games and some hockey games and stuff. But I wasn't vocally on the air. And then about a year ago, everything changed for me. If you want me to kind of elaborate on it, I'll tell you how it all came to be.
I'm quite interested in knowing what is it that shifted the gears.
Yeah, well, what happened is I was just watching some stuff on Netflix, and I saw a movie called The World Trade Center, okay? And it was a movie with Nicolas Cage and some other people in it. And what it was about the firefighters. And it was about them being trapped under the rubble, and it showed that perspective for the whole movie. And it was like hell on earth, you know what I mean? It was a real, real, depressing, sad movie. And after seeing that, I wanted to see more. I wanted to learn more about 9/11 because I had only learned what I had seen on the news. At this time, I had still trusted the news, though. I didn't know about, how they basically put out tons of disinformation and hide information from you and all that. So what I did is I searched 9/11 in the little search bar, and a movie called Loose Change, An American Coup came up. And if you're not familiar with that, or for those out there that aren't, that's one of, probably the top, 9/11, supposedly truth documentary from the truth movement. And after I saw that, reflecting back on it now, there is a lot of disinformation in that movie, and I've discovered that by discovering this, by finding out this new evidence. But at the time, it absolutely made me realize that the whole Bin Laden tale was absolutely, totally false. I mean, there was no way this guy did any of the things they said. Every part of the official story was pretty much proven wrong. I mean, whether it be scientifically or just, I mean, just common sense. Just so many things that can't happen in the world supposedly all happened on that day. And, you know, when you never really think about it, when, you know, things are moving so fast and everything's, you know, it's kind of all hidden behind the emotions. But when you start to analyze it, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous to think that three buildings can turn to dust. It's ridiculous to think that any buildings can turn to dust, never mind all the contents in it. And it's, you know, to think that two airplanes hitting two buildings made a third building come down too. And, you know, most Americans don't even know about Tower 7. I mean, they don't have any clue about it. I mean, I realize that if they're going to lie to us about this, they're going to lie to us about everything. So, I mean, not even just September 11th, I started looking into everything. So my whole focus changed. I just need to research everything all the time. It's like the last year I've been pretty much reprogramming my brain and just trying to really learn history and learn how things really happened. And I honestly just don't have time for sports anymore. And it's as simple as that. I mean, I just, my free time is devoted to finding out the truth. 9/11 is my passion, but I on my radio show, I talk about all different types of stuff. You know, I'll talk about Libya, I'll talk about Iraq, I'll talk about things that have to do with the police state, you know, all sorts of current events. But 9/11 is, you know, that is the bread and butter of us over there. And yeah, so basically, I mean, pretty much it was one movie. It was Loose Change in American Coup, and it was like a switch for me, Kevin. I mean, I saw that. And, you know, I just seen all the lies that we were told. And I never really analyzed how the buildings came down so fast and everything. And all these people that say they saw heard explosions and all this, and all the firefighters that say they saw it. So once I saw that, I was like really taken back. So I had to investigate everything, watch every documentary they had, watch every clip on YouTube, try and get, you know, the whole story. And, you know, for a long time, I was preaching that to everybody. I used a lot of it to wake a lot of people up. But, you know, now looking back upon it, it was a lot of disinfo. But it's still good that I saw it because, it, you know, it, like I said, it was like a switch for me. And it just made me want to be aware of everything that's going on around me now.
Well, you bring up a very good point, and I'm glad you brought that point up. And that is that on the one hand, there are conspiracies, and they exist, and these people are doing evil things, and they're doing evil things to us. On the other hand, you know, they put out an official story, and they expect everybody to buy this official story. And unfortunately, most of the population are mushrooms, and they do buy it. But on the other side, there is disinformation as well. On the other side, that where you have people saying, you know, we're trying to get the truth out. We want people to know what is really going on. We run into disinformation on that side of the equation as well, and yes, that's that is unfortunate.
I like to tell people, you know, it's kind of like this. You know, when you're first. Just still believing the official story, and you believe in everything you see on the news. It's almost like, you know, you're in their mental box. And when you break out of that box and you think you're free now and you start getting all this other information, you're really inside another box that they threw you in. And what it is they give you, they disguise it by giving you 80% of the truth, but then they'll mislead you on the other 20%. And they have to give you 80% of the truth or you'll never trust them. And they know that. So they talk about all these things that are already out there, like GMO food and vaccines and this and that. But when it comes to 9/11, oh boy, they're not going to tell you the truth. They're going to lie to you and mislead you. And hopefully by that time, they've built up enough trust with you where you trust them. And if they tell you not to go watch this other documentary or not to go watch this other thing because it's crap or don't listen to that person because they're, you know, they're whatever, you know, it works on a lot of people. It's like a spell. It's almost like these people criticize people for being sheep, but then they're sheep in their own – they're sheepish in their own way. They just kind of follow people in the alternative media, and that's very, very, very dangerous. People need to do all their own research and not – you know, they're not stupid. They know that – you know, it's kind of like this, Kevin. It's like they don't want you wandering around in Truthville. So they set up all these shops, and every shop has a little bit of the truth. And, you know, they're there to take you in, you know, to basically whitewash everything. Because if you wander around by yourself, you might find out what's really happening. And, you know, it's like a friend of mine said to me, they set up everything so fast, you know, all these websites and everything. It's like when you come to the scene, you don't even need to because everything's already there, but everything's really controlled. And it's really discouraging to see how much of the truth, the supposed truth community was actually deceiving everybody. I mean, it's a really high percentage. I mean, it's probably over 90%.
So how do you weed through it? How is it that you are able to sift through all of the information and come up with what is real?
I think because I am willing to look at anything, okay? I looked into a theory regarding 9/11 that I knew was totally wrong. It sounded outlandish to me. But you know what? If I didn't spend 20 hours poring over this woman's interviews and her presentations and her pitches of Ground Zero and everything else, these other little bells that rang in my head would have never went off, and I would have never discovered the real information because it kind of led me in an indirect route to the real information. And if some people, you know, if you want to get the whole story behind anything, and not even just September 11th, I mean, behind anything, I mean, how can you expect to get it if you're not willing to listen to all sides? There's value even in listening to people that are telling a falsehood, because there might be little bits of truth in there that you can pick out. And if you're good enough and can recognize it and pick it out, you know, you can use that. And that's exactly what happened. This woman was trying to explain a totally different theory, and I started noticing things in the pitches that I'd never noticed before.
Well, you know, that is what I say, and I'm not preachy about things, but if I am preachy about anything, it's that. And that is, you know, let's don't hear what Joe says about George. Let's hear George.
Exactly.
And, you know, forget what Joe says about George. Let's hear George. And whether we like him or don't like him, whether we buy what he says or don't, we need to hear what he says, and we need to ask questions. We need to listen to those answers, and we need to compare them against whatever, even if there are only a few actually known facts. Let's compare each story with the facts we have. And by doing that, you build up sort of a database of more facts.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Now, you said you wanted to be on the radio with this. Why?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I wanted to be on the radio. Are you talking about this as in the September 11th message, or just the general message of all different topics?
All the topics you talk about. Why? What is it that said to you, I need to start this radio show?
Because I feel that since I've been looking into things, I'm pretty well informed. I feel I come across well as a speaker and as, you know, as maybe like a teacher to people. You know, I try and sit a lot of people down. You know, it's not just over the internet and sending people videos and stuff. I bring people in my house. I sit them down for hours at a time, show them different things, explain things to them, talk to them face to face. You know what I mean? And that seems to work well for me. I just feel like I'm the guy to do it. I just feel like this is what I was put here for. I didn't realize it. It took me 34 years to realize it. It took me 33 years to wake up and to even have a clue as to what was going on in the world. I'm going to get a little more specific towards 9/11, because 9/11 is the thing really driving it. And the reason I need to get on the radio with this 9/11 thing is because 9/11 has changed the world. It's changed everything, Kevin. It's changed everything in this country, everything overseas. It's totally changed what our country's all about. It's almost like we have no morals anymore. I mean, we just invade people for no reason, unjustly, occupy other people's territory. When they fire back at us, you know, they're a terrorist. Well, if they came over here, we'd be patriots if we did that, if we fought back, okay? These people aren't terrorists, and we invaded, you know, and I didn't know this before, okay? But waking up to 9/11 made me realize that, wow, these countries didn't do anything to us. Afghanistan definitely didn't do anything to us, okay? And we rolled through there like it was nobody's business, all right? And then we're in Iraq, and then we're in Libya. We're doing drone strikes in Yemen and Pakistan and Sudan. We're going into Central Africa now. I mean, what are we, the Nazis from World War II? I mean, we're just invading nation after nation after nation. And the reason they're able to do it is because of fear. They have everybody in the nation afraid of the boogeyman Al-Qaeda that's going to get them, okay? And they have cashed in on that. They have used that to increase the police state to a ridiculous degree. They've used that to unjustly invade any country they want in the name of fighting terrorism. They've used it to basically rip up the Constitution. You can be arrested now, labeled a domestic extremist, and they can basically throw the court system out, give you a military tribunal. The FBI can come in your house now with no warrant. You know, anybody can listen to your phone calls, look at your emails. This is all in the last 10 years. This is all because of 9/11. And that's not the only reason. But I mean, that is that, like, it's like the nitrous shot in the engine. I mean, it's absolutely crazy how far we've come in 10 years. Now they grab your genitals at the airport. I mean, when is enough going to be enough? And I feel like if we can get this message of 9/11 out and make everybody realize how the biggest event of our generation that they were told was this horrific terrorist attack, if it's something totally different, everybody needs to know that, because, you know, people won't live in fear anymore. People won't submit to the government anymore. And who knows? Maybe if it gets big enough and the message gets big enough and people make a stand, we can actually get out of these wars. I mean, that's what I'm hoping. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? It's to stop all the madness, And I feel with 9/11, because it was for me, if you can make somebody realize that that's a fraud and they were lied to about that, I realize now they lied to me about everything, because if they lied about 9/11, they could lie about anything. I mean, that's the biggest thing that's happened in my lifetime, and the total thing is a total lie. It's just an absolute lie.
Now that you're going public with this on radio, aren't you afraid of being labeled a domestic terrorist yourself?
I guess, but I mean, I don't really think about that too much. If they're going to do that, they're going to do that. I mean, there's not really much I can do about it. Hopefully I get the message out to enough people fast enough where they realize it's all BS and everybody knows. I guess, you know, that's what I got to do, you know, tell as many people as fast as I can. And that's what I've been trying to do. I talk about it on the radio. As you probably know, I'm going to be speaking at the alien event, the alchemy event. I have to do it. I mean, I can't let that scare me away. Somebody's got to do it, right? I mean, somebody has to do it. The way I am, Kevin, is I can't sit on information like this. I mean, I can't. I have to tell people. That would just eat away at me every day of my life if I knew this and I didn't tell people and I didn't pass it on. I'm so glad that I'm able to be part of, you know, the group of people that's going to, you know, put this message forward and hopefully get everybody to realize what a fraud it was.
Okay, so let me ask, well, we have a break taking over. All right, I'll ask that question when we come back. We have to step away for a break, folks, so don't go away. We'll be back with Brian Stavely right after this.
This is Ed DeGangi from Western Connecticut, and you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. I am privileged this evening to be speaking with Brian Stavely. He is the host of a radio broadcast called The Last American Radio Broadcast. And I had a question I was going to ask you, Brian, before we went to break, so let me ask it. You were saying, you know, there's no way that you could sit still. You couldn't sleep at night if you were knowing all of this stuff and keeping it silent. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, let's say that you get all this information out there, you get people informed. So what? Now, the reason I ask it that way is, do you really think people are going to wake up in time to turn anything around, or are they going to wake up just in time to die?
Oh, man, that's a good question, you know. I like to be optimistic about it, Kevin. I mean, I really do. I think that the explanation we're going to put forth today about what really happened on that day, you know, is once people actually start to look at it and even do a little bit of research into it, if they can at least put a tiny bit of effort, they'll see that there is, you know, a lot more evidence backing this up than there ever was of any thermite-controlled demolition story or any Osama bin Laden fairy tale. Things are moving at a fast pace. I mean, they are, and it's scary as they move towards things like world government and world financial systems and all this nonsense. People can call that a conspiracy theory, but that type of stuff is going on. At least as far as on the financial level. I mean, they want to put, you know, they want to control the banks in every country. And that's what a lot of these wars are about. People don't really understand that.
Yeah, you know, the whole Libya thing was really because, in my opinion, Gaddafi was attempting to put Libya on a gold standard and encouraging all of the Arab nations to do the same.
Yep, he was going to actually put the whole continent and put $97 billion of his own money to back it up. What a bad guy, huh?
Pardon me. Well, he he certainly had his bad points.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Milosevic. Milosevic was a bad guy, but not 100% bad. Gaddafi was a bad guy, but not 100% bad. And you know, I think one of the things that people need to keep in mind is that we supported these guys. And, you know, they were our boy on the block for a while.
Yep. Most all of them. We install a lot of these people. And the other thing, guys, is when people get, you know how they give you that list every once in a while of the terror nations like Syria or Iran, used to be Iraq, Afghanistan, and all this. If you take that list and you look at the list of the only nations left in the world that don't have a central bank that's controlling their finances and their economy, it's the same list. So, you know what I mean? Syria's next, Iran. And it's really all over, a lot of it's over money. I mean, it is oil. When people say it's oil, they're not wrong. But it's not just oil. A lot of it has to do with the economies. They want to control everybody's economy. And if we don't control your economy, then NATO's going to pay you a visit.
All right. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, we did not decide that we had to bomb Yugoslavia until the bank owned by Milosevic went belly up. Owing money to bankers in New York. And next thing he knew after bankruptcy was bombs.
Yep.
So, all right. Now, let's talk about 9/11.
Sure.
What really happened there from the Brian Stavely point of view?
Okay. Perfect. Well, here's what happened. Can I give you a little lead up to it on how I came to this information?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, what happened is, you know, well, I told you how I first woke up about a year ago to this information by stumbling onto Loose Change. Okay, so after that, I started watching everything I could on it, every documentary. I started watching Jesse Ventura's TV show. Upon that, I saw Alex Jones on his show a lot, so I started listening to him on the radio a lot. You know, I would use alternative media now, like Russia Today and all these other things. And there was always something that stuck in my head, though, Kevin. And you know what it was is, after about a month of seeing, you know, the real, you know, what really happened or what I thought really happened, or, you know, being told, you know, being proven to me that the Osama bin Laden tale was false is what I should say. A month after realizing that, I saw, you know, a movie called September Clues that breaks down the second plane, and it breaks down a lot of the media deception of the day. And, you know, I knew within, you know, within 4 weeks that, you know, Flight 175 was a digitized plane. It was an absolute fraud. It was a computer graphic that was inserted. It never hit that tower. And I didn't understand how some of the people in the alternative media didn't know that. It always kind of stuck in my head because they've been looking at this for 10 years. I've been looking at it for a year. They're supposed leaders of the truth movement, and they have teams of researchers, and they've been to the sites, and they've talked to the witnesses, and all of this, and they don't have any idea. It kind of stuck in my head, but it wasn't enough to make me not trust them, so I still trusted them. And then, you know, we're going to fast forward a little bit. We're going to fast forward a lot, actually, to about 2 months ago. I was listening to the Alex Jones radio show, and I heard Jesse Ventura call in, as he often does. And Jesse Ventura was like, Alex, it wasn't thermite that brought down the towers. You know, it was a directed energy weapon. You have to read Dr. Judy Wood's book. And then Alex was like, Jesse, I know who she is. I know who she is. And she kind of let him go. Now, before we go on here, Kevin, I just want everybody listening to know that I do not believe in Judy Wood's theory. That's not where this is going right now. But I did look into it. So when I heard him say that, the thing with Jesse, Kevin, is I don't consider Jesse Ventura to be a top-level researcher. He admittedly is never in front of a computer or anything like that. But I do, you know, he's had a lot of people on his shows, okay? He's seen a lot of people. He's had Stephen Jones on there. He's had thermite tests done in front of him. He's been to Ground Zero. He's been to the Pentagon. He's talked to that woman, April, whatever her name is, in the Pentagon that supposedly came out the hole and there was no plane there and all of this stuff. So for him to have such a conviction all of a sudden and do a complete 180 and now tell me it's this super weapon or something, I had to hear it. You know, I had to hear what he had to say, at least.
Sure.
What she had to say, you know, because Jesse had seen a lot. And if he was this convinced, then, you know, I better check it out. Now, I had never looked into this directed energy weapon theory before, but a lot of people have gave it a lot of flack. A lot of people have talked a lot of bad things about this woman. And that usually raises a red flag for me, at least, because it seems to be when people start to get hot and close to the information, they get attacked. So it really made me want to look into it. So what I did is I started to look into Judy Wood's theory. I spent about 20 hours of watching presentations of her online. Like, she would do a 4-hour presentation here, a 2-hour presentation there. And I mean, it was tiring. She would go through thousands and thousands of, you know, maybe not thousands, but hundreds and hundreds of photographs. And, you know, the thing with her theory, I just want to tell everybody what the theory is real quick. She thinks that a directed energy weapon took down the Twin Towers and basically turned them into little nanoparticles, and they kind of went up into the atmosphere, basically disintegrating the building. Now, the reason she thinks that is because of the lack of debris, which we will absolutely get into a lot very soon. Some of the other reasons she thinks that is, you know, there were 1,400 cars around the World Trade Center, actually some, you know, pretty far down the street, that were all torched up and flipped over, some of them and stuff. And then, you know, all that was left of the building really was this paper flying through the air. And then she had a couple of pieces of evidence that were really, really kind of compelling. They really backed up what she was saying, but the reason being is because what she was showing us wasn't what she thought it was. What she was showing us was, she says that, you know, these buildings got disintegrated by this super weapon, and you can see this steel beam after the tower collapses. You can see this steel beam as it's about to come down. You can see it actually break into little pieces and kind of just evaporate. And you watch the video, Kevin, and you watch it a few times, frame by frame, you pause it, you do all that stuff, and that's exactly what you see. You see a steel beam disintegrate and go up into the atmosphere. But the reason you're seeing that is because that was a manipulated image. That was a special effect that she's looking at. It'd be like watching Independence Day and watching them blow up the White House and telling everybody you saw aliens blow up the White House. I mean, that's what she was looking at. And her other piece of evidence, and this is where Bell kind of went off in my head, her other piece of evidence was all these cars, okay? Now, there's, you know, 1,400 cars around the World Trade Center, all burnt up. And you start to look through all the cars, Kevin, and, you know, you start to notice something. None of the cars have a license plate on them. None of them. At least none of the ones I saw. None of them. And so now I'm starting to, you know, what's going on here? You know, I'm starting to think. Well, then, if you're familiar with the Truth Community story, if you will, about what happened to the debris, are you familiar with how they say the debris was kind of shipped out truck after truck after truck, and they pretty much destroyed the crime scene?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that ended up being a tale, a tall tale. And the only reason I found out that that was a tall tale is because I was willing to look into Judy Wood's theory. Now, what happened is she's trying to show me, not me personally, but she's trying to show everybody evidence of a directed energy weapon, and she's showing everybody the debris. And she had pictures that were from noontime on 9/11. And you know what, Kevin? That debris is already gone. It's not there. It wasn't shipped out overnight. On 9/11, that debris was already not there. I mean, it looks like almost like a house was knocked down, not a 110-story office building full of contents. I mean, there should have been thousands and thousands and thousands of cell phones. There should have been about 50,000 chairs, desks, about 15,000 toilets, about 300 acres of carpeting. 40,000 file cabinets, 75,000 telephones, you know, all this stuff. I mean, I could go down the list forever, and none of it was in the pile. None of it. And, you know, this is on noon of 9/11. So now, you know, I pretty much realize that the Truth Community story about the debris being shipped out overnight is a fraud. And, you know, why would they lie about that? You know? And then if you go back and you look at, Mayor Giuliani's, you know, first interview on 9/12, okay? Now, this is the day after this horrible event happened. All these people are supposedly stuck underneath the rubble. People are missing. People are dead. There's all this chaos going on. And the first thing he does when he gets in front of the microphone, Kevin, is he starts explaining why there's no debris, why the lack of debris. Isn't that rather odd? Instead of talking about the victims or anything else, he starts explaining the lack of debris.
Yes, and what did he say about the lack of debris?
He said that they had been working all night, and they shipped out, you know, so many, I forget how many tons he said, but, you know, hundreds of tons of steel and all this. They were shipping it out all night, he said. And that's just, you know, that's just absolutely false. I mean, maybe they did ship some out during that night, but it was almost all gone already. The pictures, you know, from 2 hours after this event happened, and the site is, like, flat.
But wouldn't that support Dr. Judy Wood's theory?
Well, it could support it. Once you see the direction where we're going, though, you'll see about why it more supports, you know, what we're saying than it actually supports her theory. But yeah, it could a little bit. It could, and that's why she's showing it. But it actually it's, you know, if a building is full with 110 stories of people, 50,000 workers, all these contents that I talked about, all these file cabinets. When it comes down, I mean, how can all that stuff not be there?
Well, when she was on my show, I asked that question, and she said because this beam weapon, directed energy weapon, vaporized it.
Well, how about instead of, you know, talking about beam weapons, it's just, what if, you know, maybe the contents just weren't there in the first place?
Okay, I'm game. Go ahead.
Okay, let's get into it then a little bit. Mm-hmm. So what I did after seeing this, okay, now I thought that, you know, it was compelling enough that, you know, I needed to see who wasn't attacking her. Okay, that's what I needed to do.
Okay, we have a break taking over, so we'll start with that thought. What's wrong with the beam weapon? When we come back from this break, we'll be back, folks, right after this. welcome back. My guest this evening, Brian Stavely. And Brian, when we went away, you were just about to explain what's wrong with the directed energy, directed beam weapon theory.
All right. Well, I'm glad we're back already. A lot of time's gone by so fast. What happened after seeing some of this evidence is I wanted to, look into who was an attack in Judy Wood. And, so one of the people's names that came up was Jim Fetzer, okay? I had heard of Jim Fetzer before. I had seen him make up a few press conferences, a few speeches, and he had talked about a lot of areas that, a lot of 9/11 people in the community don't talk about, like the second plane being fake is a real touchy issue. And you're going to see soon why people don't want to talk about that. Now, after finding Jim Fetzer, I made my way to his website or whatever, and I found these two radio interviews. They were with a couple people named Phil J. Han and Larry McWilliams. They're from the forums called letsrollforums.com. And these interviews were, these were just absolutely blockbuster, compelling interviews that absolutely changed everything about 9/11 to me. And, this information, once every real researcher that's an honest researcher of 9/11 sees this information, I believe they're all going to know it to be true. And once they start digging into it, they will see there is mounds and mounds and mounds of more evidence backing this up than there ever was for a directed energy weapon theory, than there ever was for thermite theory, than there ever was evidence against Osama bin Laden, mini nukes, UFOs, I mean, anything, any of those theories. They pretty much just don't hold up once we get to this. So, without any further ado, I'd like to get right into, the new information.
Yeah, go ahead.
From about, I want to say, I think it was about 1997 to about 2000 and, till 9/11, for about a four-year period, okay, there was this group of art students that stayed on the 91st floor of the World Trade Center 1, the North Tower, okay? They stayed on the 91st floor, and what they were supposedly there for was to do a project, and the name of their project was called Gelatin Bee. And the thing about this Gelatin Bee is they also released a book about it, and we're going to get into some of the things that were in the book. What they would do in their project, okay? Now, this is supposed to be art students, and they're up on the 91st floor of the World Trade Center, months before 9/11, and they're removing windows, okay? They would remove a window, they would put a balcony out the 91st floor, okay? And they would go out there every morning at like 6 in the morning, naked, and they would wave a towel or a shirt, and a helicopter that they had on standby would actually film them. Now, that's a really odd thing for some art students to be doing, wouldn't you say?
Well, no, because art students do things and call it art that shock the rest of the world. So if they're art students...
I guess you have a point there. It would require quite a budget, though, to have a helicopter out there every morning.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, anyways, the specifics of what they were doing is they would walk out on this balcony, they would wave a towel or shirt, and then the helicopter would film them, okay? And, this would go on for a while, and they had, they had put some, diagrams in their book about the Gelatin Bee Project. And in these diagrams, and if anybody that's listening wants to follow along, if they want to check our website, thelastamerican.org, there's a section there that says our blogs, and you can follow along with the pictures. I loaded them all in there today, so you could kind of, you could kind of see what we were talking about. And, the first the very top section, you'll see a group of about 10 pictures. And, what these guys drew in their diagrams, was very strange. One of their diagrams was, supposed to be their place of study, the World Trade Center, and they drew, like, the outside of the building, and then through the middle on top, you could see the inside of the building. But what they drew, they didn't draw a shipping company that they were supposed to be sharing a floor with. They didn't draw any art canvases, desks, phones, offices, elevators, anything like that. They drew the internal support columns of the building. Why are these guys able to see the internal support columns of the building? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me how they would have access to something like that. Also in their book, okay, is some photographs. And if you look at the photographs, they have a photograph of the 91st floor of them, setting up for this stunt. And if you look around, the whole thing's gutted. The whole floor is stripped out. There's no ceiling. There's no walls. They've got a bunch of boxes stacked up, you know, probably so people don't see what they're doing in there. And not only is there a couple photographs that shows the floor totally empty, they make some very strange statements. They draw another diagram of the tower, and they write on it that, you know, it's full of life on the outside, but it's dark and depressing on the inside. And they also write that 10 floors, you know, 10 floors to the top, and it's all hollow. Okay? So, you know, you start to wonder, you know, what does that mean? And also, you know, it should be noted that this floor is in the, you know, where the impact zone would be for 9/11, where the plane supposedly hit. And the elevators don't even stop on the floors. The same floors that they're saying are hollow, they're on 91, and it go, you know, they're talking about 10 floors above them, so that would be up to 101. The elevators don't even stop on those floors at all. And, you know, supposedly, you know, supposedly that's where thousands and thousands and thousands of people died. Now the thing with these guys and the stunt that they were doing, Kevin, is do you remember anything about, you know, maybe the 91st floor around that area on 9/11? Do you remember anything, you know, particular about that?
No.
Well, that's just about the exact spot where all the jumpers jumped from. And every jumper before they jumped, if you go back and look at the video, just about every jumper before they jumped, Kevin, they all did the same thing. A lot of them would come out with no clothes on, or they'd have their shirt off or whatever. They would all wave it. I don't know. What are they waving at? They would all wave their shirt, and then the helicopter would film them and would film the jump, just like the same stunt that these guys were doing months before from the same area of the building.
All right, let's pause right there. I've got a question.
Sure.
From the 91st floor up, the elevators don't stop, right?
They pick back up again at about 101. They don't stop from 79 is the last stop until 101. So everything in between it doesn't stop at. That's correct.
And so how do people get to these floors?
That's a good question, Kevin. I don't know. I mean, that's something that we need answered, right? I mean, I don't know how they would get to those floors. You know, and so, you know, that's where thousands and thousands of people are from. Two of the biggest companies that lost, you know, two of the companies that lost the most people on 9/11 were Marsh McLennan and Cantor Fitzgerald. And between the two of them, they lost 1,016 people. They're, you know, they're right on those floors, right above 91, in between 91 and 101. And there's no elevators to take them there. And, you know, how is that? I mean, how does that work?
Well, obviously, if they had those people working there, there has to be some way that those people get from the ground up and back down. Maybe they had their own private elevators.
I mean, I guess that could be a possibility. You know, back to the stunt about the stunt that they were doing, you know, and the only deaths that you saw on 9/11, the only bodies you saw, the only anything you saw, were these jumpers. Those were the only deaths you saw on 9/11. That was the big tearjerker. Now, you know, when you go back and you study the jumpers and you know, like I told you, they all go out on the balcony. They all do the same motion that these Israeli art students were doing. There's actually a lot of other things going on that you never notice when you're just looking for evidence of controlled demolition. And there's a lot of photoshopping going on. You know, if you could check it out right now, everybody that's listening, check the site I told you, thelastamerican.org, and I put all these pictures up for you guys tonight. You know, if you go through the jumpers' pics, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Some of the people are like 60 feet out away from the building. Other ones look like they were sitting on a park bench and it was just cut and pasted out of there and flipped upside down. There's other ones where people's feet are on fire and they're holding hands. There's other ones where one guy's arm is like, you know, 9 feet long.
All right, we have to step away for break. We shall return, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Thank you. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted that you are here. My sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour, but we're glad you are here now. My guest this evening is Brian Stavely. He is the host of a radio show called The Last American Radio Broadcast. And it is a show that deals with conspiracies and theories. When we went away for break, Brian, you were telling us about the people jumping out of the World Trade Center, and you were saying it was photoshopped.
Yes, it is, Kevin. A lot of it is just Photoshop people that they pasted in after. They put on images. For anybody that is, in front of the computer right now, please, I have some pictures I need to show you. I forgot to show you about the debris, too. Go to thelastamerican.org, thelastamerican.org, and go right to our blog section. Go down to Exhibit B and look at the photos of the jumpers, guys. You got people that are 60 feet out from the tower. You got other people that, one guy looks like he was sitting on a park bench. And one of the more telling ones, if you look at the bottom, I have a little collage there of about 15 different photos of the jumpers. And if you look at the pic toward the bottom right, you can see all these people gathering near the windows. And the windows are only about 3 feet tall. They can't really fit through the windows. Now, the windows at the World Trade Center are supposed to be 6 feet tall. This is a false image. Either, they had a, shot this somewhere else, or, they had, props on the side of the building. These are the only deaths that we saw, guys. This is what really got a lot of people emotionally attached. Now, these art students, what they were there for, guys, is they were filming the jumpers. It was a movie stunt. They would go out to the balcony. That much of it would be, would be filmed or whatever. It would be real photos. And then the scenes of them jumping, it's just Hollywood. It's Hollywood. It's photoshopped images and digitized effects. And not only were these jumpers fake, on the 91st floor, right above them on the 94th floor, there was a smoke and fire delivery system made with like PVC piping that was wrapped around the building. It could have been put up overnight, so it wasn't there for a long time, so people from adjacent buildings or whatever couldn't see it. They made it, they could have thrown it up in a matter of a couple of hours, and you can see it giving off black smoke coming out all these pipes. You can see about every 6 feet flames shooting out to create fire. And this was for anybody that was on the street that saw, that happened to be one of the spectators that happened to have an angle of it. The idea that thousands and thousands and thousands of New Yorkers saw this is absolutely not true. If you've ever been to New York, and you try and look up and over, you really can't in a lot of places. There's so many tall buildings in your way. So to see the side of the building where it was, I mean, it's not like there were 50,000 people looking at it. And, this takes a lot of work, okay? You're not expected to believe any of this right away. But once you guys just, if you have an open mind and you're a real 9/11 researcher, I mean, just on this one aspect, and this is a small part of the story now, we still have a lot to get into tonight. If you just look with an open mind and be honest with yourself and look at the pictures that I put up on the website, guys, look at the jumpers. Are you trying to tell me that all those images are real? You got one guy flying out. He looks like Bruce Willis, guys. It looks like an action hero movie. And, a little bit below that, and I should have showed you guys this earlier, if you look at Exhibit D, we have some pictures of the debris pile. And, Kevin, if you look at the debris, I mean, that's from Judy Wood, one of these pictures right here, the top one. That's from 9/11. And, there's nothing there. I mean, it looks like a building maybe, five stories high got knocked down. And we're talking about 110 stories full of all these contents that we started to name off earlier, miles and miles of different types of phone wire and carpets. And think of all the file cabinets and this and that. And we're supposed to believe that everything turned to dust. Everything turned to dust, guys. I mean, come on, man. Planes don't vaporize and people don't turn to dust. And one of the other theories that I want to put to rest here today is the theory that a lot of the stuff got punched through into the basement, okay? I also put up, on the site there for you guys. I didn't overwhelm you. I didn't put too much stuff. But right under the debris, it's all organized. Right under the debris pictures, you'll see a video. It says 9/11 debris, investigation of Ground Zero. And I'm actually going to, I'd like to play a little clip from that, Kevin, if I could. I'd like to play about the first 3 minutes of it. I have my computer, you know, it's all set up. So if I press play, it'll feed through and everybody will get to hear it. I want to hear what you guys, you know, I want you guys to hear the absurdity of what these guys are saying. And then when you check the video out on the site, I want you to look at the 30-second mark and you can see the whole, you know, the whole bathtub, as they would call it, the whole flat area there where all the buildings would sit. And it's exactly that. It's flat. There's not a huge heaping pile of debris. Almost nothing has punched through. You can see the top of one of the towers. A couple pieces of the frame have punched through a little bit. But other than that, I mean, the ground is intact. You know, it looks like you could come through with a bulldozer and you know, push things off to the side.
Well, I'll tell you what let's do, since I have video. Why don't you summarize it for us? And it's on your site. People can go and watch it and listen to it. But why don't you summarize for us what it says?
Oh, well, they just, you know, they're just basically talking about how, you know, they don't, there's nothing in there. They haven't found anything that's, you know, nothing bigger than, you know, half a keypad. And, you know, they talk about how there's 100 floors missing. There's 100 floors missing in the tower, in the debris. And, you know, it's got some really, you know, great visuals of the, you know, the actual, what should be the debris pile. And I mean, it's just not there. I mean, there's like nothing there. It looks like a house got knocked down. I mean, it's literally that small.
Well, see, now I'm not a proponent of Dr. Judy Wood's theory, but I'm playing the devil's advocate here. When she was here, she addressed that issue. And said that the only way that you could have a pile of dust instead of a many stories high pile of debris would be for it to just be demolecularized. And you're saying that there is another explanation.
Oh, there's a totally different explanation, and it's much simpler.
All right.
These buildings were never, ever, ever completed. You know, I was gonna, you know, save this for a little bit towards the end because I had a few other things, but you know, we're gonna jump into this part of it right now. You know, we have pictures of the towers and they're hollow. You can see the sun shining right through. Okay, almost all the floors, Kevin. And you know, the first picture we have is from 1972, and people could argue that the building, you know, was just being finished being built, and you know, that's why it's not, because it's not done yet. Well, then besides that picture, we have a picture from 1978, okay? And in this picture, Kevin, you can see that the towers are still mostly hollow. Halfway up on the tower on the left, you can see that there's no floors all the way to the top. And the only reason they're not there on the bottom, the reason you can't see through still on the bottom, is because they put up a shutter system. Now, besides me just telling you that the floors are hollow, you know, in this photograph, okay, you know, they're supposed to be tenants on these floors at that time. They're registered. We have the occupancy report. We've got it from a Freedom of Information Act, and it shows the occupancy of every tenant that ever moved in and moved out of there and the supposed dates of each. And, you know, when this picture's taken, and you can clearly see that there's at least 30 to 40 missing floors with what you can see, never mind with what's behind the shutters. It's an absolute fraud. I mean, you can see it with your own eyes. And you can go through the occupancy report, and you can see that, you know, there's companies listed as being on these floors that aren't in the building. I mean, you can see it. You can see right through. Again, the elevators don't stop there. And again, some of these floors are the very same floors that these art students said were hollow. It's the same floors, and then many more. And Cantor Fitzgerald and Marsh McLennan, you know, they supposedly lost, you know, 1,016 people, and they take up about a third of the tower, and that's a third of the deaths. So, you know, for some sort of scheme to have happened, it wouldn't have had to involve a whole bunch of companies. Now, before, you know, I talk too much more about the actual structure of the building, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the photoshopping that was going on. Okay. All right. You know, when you take a picture and you edit a picture, it gets stamped with data called EXIF data. And what the EXIF data is it'll show you different things, like maybe geolocation where the photo was taken. It'll show you when it was taken, what type of flash was used, all this other stuff. Now, if you edit the photo, Kevin, if you edit anything in the photo, if you edit the contrast, brightness, if you add a caption, any of this stuff, it stamps a new date on it, okay? And that's the date that it says taking a picture day. That's what it'll say because that's the last time it was edited. Now, a lot of these 9/11 victims, and I'm talking about the ones that we know of, like Todd Beamer, you know, the Let's Roll guy, Mark Bingham, the guy that called his mom and said, "Hi, mom, it's me, Mark Bingham," and many others, their pictures, okay, are stamped with an EXIF data date of before 9/11. Now, normally that wouldn't be a problem. Okay, that they could have a picture that was taken a month ago, and that's why it's stamped with that date. Or they could have a picture that was edited a few weeks ago, and that's why it's stamped with the date before 9/11. But these pictures are dated before 9/11 as the last time edited, okay? And they have their obituaries in them. Their obituaries are embedded in the photographs before 9/11 with the flights that the people are going to die on and everything. And this is with the prominent people. These aren't just, you know, some random people, you know, we picked off the list. These are the people that they've built some of these stories around. You know, Todd Beamer, if he's the Let's Roll hero, how could his obituary be done before 9/11 and embedded in the photograph? And, you know, there's a lot more to this. If you, you know, I put a couple videos up, and I want people to check them out. You know, you'll see them right when you go there. Right when you go to our site, and one of them says the firefighters, okay? Now, this is a touchy subject, and, you know, it's become taboo. You know, you're not allowed to talk about the victims in 9/11. You're not allowed to dig into any of that. Well, you know what? That's all bullcrap. I want the whole truth. I'm not hiding anything back. The last thing I am ever trying to do is be disrespectful. I honestly don't see anything you could do to respect the dead more than, you know, to try and find out what really happened to them on that day.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If, all right, we've got these guys with pictures that have their obituary dates embedded in the picture, and the EXIF data is stamped before 9/11.
Yes.
Where are the victims? Are they dead? Are they being held somewhere else? What's the story with the victims?
The story is, and this is where this was going, the victims were basically made in a computer database, most of them. A lot of them, they've actually taken, you know, they've taken some, you know, regular faces of, like, celebrities even and morphed them a little bit. And, you know, to really drive this point home, I have a couple videos. And, you know, nothing's going to really prove this to people by me telling it. People really need to go look at the videos. Go to thelastamerican.org, go to the blog section, and look at the video of the firefighters, okay? And, you know, it's going to start right before the five-minute mark. And it's going to be, you know, they're going to what they're going to show you guys is they're going to show you pictures of firefighters side by side. And what they're showing you, it's not the same person in two different pictures. It's supposed to be two different firefighters in New York. And set after set after set after set after set, okay, they all look just about identical. Like one facial feature would be changed. So then, you know, you start to look into the death, you know, you look into the death records because you hear a lot of stuff, and I want to look for myself at what's really going on. And I dug into the Social Security Death Index, and a lot of people before me did that. Now, if somebody dies in this country, they go into the SSDI. If you put, you know, any of your old relatives in there that have passed on, they'll all come up. Only 11% of the firefighters come up. Only 11% of them are in the death index. Okay. And this is a common thing throughout all the victims. Out of all the victims, only about 12% of them in the Social Security Death Index. Now, if it was 90% of them and 10% weren't in there and you told me it was an error, you know, maybe we could talk about that. But to have 88% of them not in there, I think is absurd. And then, you know, people could say, okay, well, maybe you're reading too much into looking at these guys. And yeah, they look almost identical, but maybe that could happen. You know, in the same city, guys looking like twins that aren't related, you know, happening over and over again. I mean, it's very unlikely, but there's other things that are more easily proven. Like, you know, there's 9/11 memorials that they had, okay? And, you know, these people are together for memorial service for the 9/11 victims. And the pictures from it are clearly photoshopped. I mean, there's a guy that's, you know, sitting there, you know, at the service, and his head is, like, cut off in half and stuck into a flag. And there's all types of cut-and-paste action going on with all these photos. And if you pour, you know, it's not just with the victims either. It's with everything. If you pour over the Ground Zero photos, and this, you know, people can do this. You can all do this on your own. It, you know, it takes a lot of time, but there's thousands of Ground Zero photos. Guys, if you go look at them, you can see, if you have a watchful eye, that there's foregrounds and backgrounds put together, and they weren't taken at the same time of day. These people were a little bit sloppy, and you can actually see, like, in the background, the sun will shoot the direction north, but then in the foreground, the sun will shoot the direction of the shadows on all of them east off the buildings. And there's just tons of this going on. There's people walking through fire that don't even look down, like they don't realize there's fire there. There's a pastor being carried out by a group of men, but in different pictures he has different color hair, and a couple of the guys that are carrying him are different guys, but it's supposed to be the same guy. There's a lot of this going on. And a long time ago, before I even went down this road about, you know, the fake jumpers and everything, I always knew that there was a lot of digital manipulation going on of Manhattan. I mean, we had buildings disappearing off the screen. We had bridges walking in the background. For anybody that doesn't know yet, it's right on the site, too. I put two great still pictures up. Flight 175 was, you know, totally manufactured. Now, I'm not going to go down that whole road tonight just because we don't have the time to get into it. You know, and that's not what I want to focus on at all. But, you know, we've known all these things were fake for a long time. We've known of actors playing witnesses in a couple places. We've known of some scenes that were manipulated, but we never really put the whole picture together. This whole thing was a sham. You know, when you watch a 9/11 documentary, okay, you always see the same family members. You always see Bob McElveen. You always see Donna Marsh. You always see this other woman. Her son was Christian Reagan-Hart or whatever. You always see the same people. And I used to always wonder, you know, why is it always the same people that I see? You know, there's 3,000 families. There should be 6,000 parents maybe. And where are they all? Why is it always the same people? Well, if you go and look into any of these guys, any of them, Bob McElveen, Donna Marsh, these people you see on Jesse Ventura's shows, you see them on Alex Jones's movies, you see them in other 9/11 documentaries, you see them in Building 7 commercials. If you look into their kids, none of them existed. They've never been listed anywhere. They've never been born. They're not listed in the Social Security Death Index. Nobody knows them from the past. There's no high school pictures of them. And this is the case with all of them, guys. This is the case with all of them. And, you know, You could say we're injecting some theory into here, but I mean, the pictures don't lie, guys. There's clear photoshopping going on of victims. There's clear photoshopping going on of Ground Zero. These people aren't listed in the Social Security Death Index except for a very small percentage of them. And one more point I want to make regarding that is, you know, and this is absurd, guys. The families of 9/11 are entitled to the Victim Compensation Fund, okay? I believe it's about $7 billion. And there's also a business compensation fund, which we'll get into in a little bit, that not that many people know about. And between the two of them, we're talking about $40 billion, okay? Now, the Victim Compensation Fund, all these families are entitled just under $2 million. Some of them a little more, closer to three. A lot of them about $1.9 million, okay? They just got to pick it up, okay? And out of all of these families, out of 10 years that have gone by, you know how many families didn't pick it up?
How many?
Almost all of them. Only like 62 families picked up their free $2 million. Is that not, I mean, that's unfathomable. Maybe one or two people might not, because they're
just
so...
Wait a minute. What you're saying is that the families of all of these people, we were told there were around 3,000 people that died that day.
Yep.
And so the families of all these 3,000 people could pick up a couple of million dollars apiece.
Yep. And they haven't.
And only 62 have.
Yeah, and I don't like to use numbers. I like to stay with percentages a little more because it could have came up a little bit. Maybe it's 63, 64, maybe 61. But yeah, it's about 11% of them have picked up the money. That's it. About 11% of them. And, you know, back to, you know, I don't like to keep jumping around different directions, but I want to talk a little bit more about the firefighters. I'm telling you, when you look at these pictures of these firefighters, it's clear to me because I've seen all this other photoshopping. I know what they're doing. They do a good job. You're not supposed to be able to see this easy. But, you know, not just the firefighters, but the other victims, if you look at their pictures, this one's more, you know, maybe people could be more skeptical about it. That's why I jumped right to the firefighters. But there's pictures of people that it is supposed to be the same person twice. But they look exactly the same in every picture. Now, I understand it's the same person. They're going to have pretty much the same expression when they smile. But in every picture, like, if they're leaning to the left, they're leaning to left in the second picture. If their head's tilted to the right, it's tilted to the right in the second picture. A lot of pictures, they'll just throw an arm around the person and redden their face a little bit. And they look exactly the same in both pictures. Now, that is the same person, so I don't like to use that as one of the stronger points. But I did want to touch on it because it's not just the firefighters. But the firefighters, they're telling you they're two different people, and they look exactly the same to you. Now, the other thing with the firefighters is we were told on 9/11, okay, that a steel frame building came down, and it's never happened in the history of the world. Right, Kevin?
As far as I know, that's correct.
Yep, that's what they told us, and that is correct. That's never happened anywhere in the world before. It supposedly happened three times that day, two of which most people know about, three if you know about Building 7. And so the firefighters that are in there, right, they would not have it going through their head, hey, this building's going to come down, right? Because it's never happened. Mm-hmm. So that's not going through their head.
Right.
Well, if you look at the firehouses and, you know, how these guys died and what firehouses they came from, it's absolutely absurd. When you start to put all this together, it's crazy. I mean, you look at the firehouses they died from, and these guys should die in teams of six, teams of 10. I mean, the building just came down all of a sudden, and all of a sudden it was down in 10 seconds, right? That's the story. It came down in 10 seconds. These guys wouldn't have died one or two at a time, and that's what you have. You have some guys in the closest firehouses dying one at a time, two at a time, and then you have, you know, you might have a house with like 10 of them, but then you'll have a couple more with just like one guy, two guys. It's absolutely absurd. And you could spend all day going through the Ground Zero pics and you'll see tons of photoshopping. I mean, it's obvious. It's obvious once you start looking for it. And when you're looking for controlled demolition evidence, you don't see any of that. Now, what I wanted to say is the thing with the EXIF data that I was telling you about the obituaries being done before 9/11, when this research, with the people researching it, started to dig this up, CNN started taking down all the pictures. They started taking down victims' pictures off the 9/11 memorials faster than you could blink an eye. And a lot of them are still down. They've taken them down because they know that the EXIF data is very revealing. And, you know, besides the Photoshop pictures, besides what I'm telling you about the fake jumpers, besides that no elevators stopped on worked in, we have props. We have Hollywood props. You know, we have pictures of it. We have pictures of the smoke pipe that we told you about, above, right above the 91st, right around the 94th floor. You can see it's a little hard to make out at first, but you can see it. You can see the smoke coming out of it. You can see the fire coming out of it. And then even better than that, at the Pentagon, they had a fake smoke machine on the lawn giving off white plumes of smoke. And
your audio just cut out.
Nope. Hello?
You're back.
Okay. Did you hear me mention the Pentagon?
Yes. You said they had a fake smoke machine on the Pentagon grounds.
Yes, they had a fake smoke machine on the grounds of the Pentagon, guys. It's all up on the site. I put it there for you guys. You'll see it. You can see a still picture of it, and then you can watch a video of it. You know, this whole thing was a fraud, and, you know, there's a lot of questions you might have right now, and I'm going to answer a couple of them for you. You know, one of them is, you know, well, what about, you know, everybody says, you know, these buildings had 50,000 people in it. If all these floors were missing, I mean, how were all these companies in there? Well, when you look at the occupancy report, first of all, you know, it was only 25 to 35% full almost its whole life, supposedly. And then all of a sudden in 2000 and 2001, they expect us to believe that the occupancy went up to about 95%. That's what they expect us to believe, that it just all of a sudden jumped up like it was nobody's business.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Brian Stavely. Brian, we'll give it a shot here and see if your audio's back. Are you there?
Can you hear me, Kevin?
We can hear you. Okay.
Excellent, excellent.
All right. Brian, it appears to me that someone is possibly messing with your connection and doesn't want you to say certain things. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to spearhead. You're going to have to get to the point and say it before they can cut you off.
All right. Well, here's the point, guys. 9/11 was not a terrorist attack, guys. 9/11 was a Hollywood scripted movie with actors and special effects and movie props. And, you know, for anybody out there, you know, before you attack this theory, please look into it. The evidence speaks for itself. You know, pictures don't Photoshop themselves. This evidence is there. The smoke pipes are there, guys. The fake smoke machines are there. These floors and these buildings were missing. Now, if you know, I said a lot of things today that you might be like, oh, that's crazy. But let me ask you what's crazier, guys. What's crazier? Is it crazier that George Bush, Larry Silverstein, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and the rest of them conspired to commit mass murder against 3,000 of their own civilians in order to further their agenda in Iraq, Afghanistan, and, you know, attack our civil liberties over here and the whole nine yards? Or is it crazier that they maybe fake the whole thing and push through the same agenda? I think the first one's a little crazier. Now, if you want to, you know, go through all the unanswered questions of 9/11, and if you apply the answer that it was a movie, all of it seems to make sense. We'll start with the debris. Why is there no debris? Well, because it was a movie. That's the one thing they couldn't fake. The only real thing about that day, Kevin, is the ultimate destruction of those buildings. All of those people, and I can back all of this up, all of those people that you saw around the towers, that was a digitized fake image. Those people were either filmed in a studio, or they were filmed on streets in another city, or they were filmed in New York at a different time. There are many, many instances of people actually like ghosts running through other people. You can see through people's faces and see the buildings behind them. All types of things that aren't normal, you know, live shot video camera errors. They shot tons and tons of B-roll, and a lot of it had different mistakes on it. Now, you know, 9/11's going on. It's this biggest event ever. If you're a reporter in New York, you're trying to get the best shot possible, okay? I've seen reporters have mortar rounds flying over them. They're not scared of almost anything. You know, a building has never come down before from a fire like that. There's no video of people exiting those buildings. There should have been thousands and thousands and thousands of people rushing out the buildings. You have no video of that because they could not fake that. What did they do to fake an office building came down? They dropped a bunch of friggin' paper through the air and told you everything got vaporized. Some of those videos that we didn't get to play earlier, when you guys go to the site, lastamerican.org, go to the blog section, listen to the absurdity of these firemen after firemen telling you everything just turned to dust and to steel. Dust and steel. It's absolutely absurd, guys. And, you know.
All right. Well, okay. Now, let me ask. I've got to ask for clarification.
Sure.
You're not saying that those buildings are still standing there?
No, I'm absolutely not saying that. I'm saying the only real thing about that day was the destruction of those buildings.
Okay,
those buildings are not there. They came down on 9/11. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So
I am absolutely not saying that.
So how did they come down as dust?
They came down under the cover of either smoke grenades, huge dust clouds, whatever they did. You know, all the people were backed many, many blocks away, and they just basically smoked the place out. If you remember how smoky it was looking at the scenes of Manhattan, I mean, you really couldn't see anything. I know for a fact, you know, when that supposed second plane hit, you know, okay, which was fake, and just about everything after that that we saw of Manhattan, a lot of it was, you know, digitized, manipulated images, and it had tons of errors on it. People familiar with New York can tell you there's a lot of buildings out of place. You can see buildings moving. I mean, there's, you know, you can see buildings disappearing off the screen. You know, just all types of stuff like that. And
okay,
know,
so yeah, like, if those ahead. Buildings did come down that day,
yep.
Where's the rubble?
they were almost all hollow, Kevin. There was only very few floors on there. The rubble that you saw is the rubble from the towers, but the reason there's hardly any is because they weren't packed with office buildings. Now, if you went in the World Trade Center, the first stop after the ground level going in the elevator would be floor 7. Guess what's not there for a stop? Floor 7, floor 8. Floor 9, floor 10, all the way to floor 14, there's no stops. And then there's a Bank of America, which is owned by David Rockefeller. He's one of the people that put the towers up and would be in on this plan, so you can't count that as genuine. And then after that, I mean, there's these huge gaps where there's not even companies registered on their own paperwork. And you really got to see the pictures, Kevin, and everybody in Kevin's audience. Either go to thelastamerican.org and look at the pictures of the hollow towers, guys. You can see right through the building. Almost the whole thing, guys. I mean, if there's floors in there, I mean, there might be 20 out of 110 floors, maybe 30. I mean, there's really not a lot at all. And for people that are saying, oh, that's when they built the building, no, because we have another picture from 6 years after the building's done being completed. We have the occupancy report. There's supposedly tenants on these floors, including the larger companies that lost the most lives. And you can see clear through the building. There is no floors there. There's no tenants there. These people are ghost companies. They're actually ghost companies. And this is how they were able to set up the truth movement so easily. If there's no real families to oppose it and try and set it up, that's how they were able to control everything so easily and control the information that you see. You know, they had a lot of actors that day. For people that think, you know, well, how would these actors, you know, how would they go along with this? Surely if there was a plan that went for this long, people would come out. Well, you got to look at it a little different now, because now when you take the victims out of it, all right, you know, a lot of people, especially the military types, they would keep quiet about that. You ask a general in the military or a couple people, you know, a couple ranks under them, hey, we're going to do this thing. It's going to help our country, because that's how they would spin it. No Americans are going to die, blah, 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 blah. And we're going to go take oil, yada, yada, yada. I mean, some of them would say no, because they're smarter than that. But most of them would say, sure, we'll go along with that. We won't say anything. And, you know, once, you know, you take the deaths out, I mean, it makes it a lot easier to keep the thing buttoned up. This was a 30-year plan to knock down these buildings. I beg everybody to do the research into this. The best place to go besides our radio station site would be letsrollforums.com. That is the top 9/11 site. It's the only place where they're really onto this research. You know, to answer a few questions real quick that I know a lot of people have right now, like how did they make that appear as a busy office building? Everybody I know talks about the World Trade Center, how busy they were. Listen to this clever plan, Kevin. They actually built a subway into the basement of the World Trade Center that brings 400,000 people plus a day through it. And then they put an observation deck and a Windows on the World restaurant on the top of the towers that kept foot traffic going up and down, in and out. They maybe had a few other companies that were real. Almost all of them were ghosts. People didn't have access to the floor, so they didn't know, so they couldn't tell. You know, with 400,000 people coming in a building every day on a subway, what time do people come on a subway? They come at the same time as a building would be busy for, you know, for a regular work day. You know, most of them. I mean, other ones would be coming later, no doubt. You know, and that's how they pulled the illusion off. And all they did that day is, you know, they closed the subway. They had the windows in the world in one other place, you know, the observation deck closed. And it wasn't like they had to have all these companies in on it. It wasn't like they had to move tons and tons of companies out. This was a 30-year plan, including the Truth Movement. Most of the people you see in the Truth Movement, and I didn't realize this until 2 months ago, most of them are there to actually suppress the truth of 9/11. They really are. They're there to get you to chase down rabbit trails. When you look into the character, you know, I don't want to, you know, get up here and bash people, but when you look into the character of these people, it tells a lot different story. To speak of the actors involved in the 9/11 plot, there is one woman, you know, and I can't believe her name's escaping me right now, but if you go to Let's Roll Forums, you'll see she's on there. Just, you know, 9/11 actress, if you search that. She admitted that she was a 9/11 actress when she applied for another job, okay? And when asked, you know, oh, what do you mean 9/11 actress? Oh, she was in the FEMA commercial, she said. And there was no FEMA commercial. So this woman, like, you know, mistakenly, accidentally admitted it. When you take the money that was available, the $40 billion, you know, just with my loose math real quick, I see it as you could pay. Now, you would not get prominent actors, obviously, because people will recognize them. So you get people that are just starting out. These people obviously haven't made a boatload of money. You could pay these people $1 million a year for 50 years, and you could pay 800 of them, and, you know, you just threaten them. You have a talk about it, then you don't get your $1 million every year. And that's guaranteed money from the government, people that have never made that. And all, it's a lifetime acting gig. You are this 9/11 person now. Anytime you're in public, or, you know, anytime, you know, well, obviously not when you're in public, but you have to, you know, you're one of the victims.
Let's talk about the families of the victims for just a minute. You mentioned some people that we see on television every time someone interviews victims' families, and you mentioned some of them by name, and yes. You said they don't even have any kids, or these yes. kids, they don't have these kids. Are you aware that if you're wrong about that, they can pin you to the wall in a lawsuit that's unbelievable?
I know, but at this point, we have enough evidence that we are confident about this. This whole thing is a fraud. Their kids, they do not exist. Nobody's ever seen them. And even it's even obvious, and I don't want to get up here and tell you, you know, everything on the news is photoshopped. And, you know, a lot of it is. You know, like Bob McElveen, I will say his name specifically. You know, his son, they carry his around the same two pictures of him all the time. And if you look at the picture, it's clear that the head doesn't even go on the body on one of the pictures. And I'm not just, you know, looking at faces and clouds here and trying to make something out of nothing. I mean, it's obvious. Like with the jumper pitches, too, you blow them up, you could see pixelation in them that doesn't belong. I mean, there's just tons of this fakery going on.
Okay, so let's deal with the mechanics of bringing the buildings down.
Sure.
How was that done?
With explosives of some sort. But, you know, I'm not a demolition expert. I don't know exactly what type of explosive they would use in it. Maybe it was thermite. And, you know, just like a broken clock is right twice a day, maybe they were right when they said thermite, only because maybe they really did use that to bring the building down. But I don't think so. I mean, I don't know what they use, if it's, you know, a form of TNT, C4, whatever it is. I mean, they used explosives. They brought it down. It wasn't this conventional implosion that everybody says it was. The two Twin Towers did not fall in their footprint. Building 7 did. The Twin Towers fell outside of their footprint. They basically almost like peeled back. And when you look at the debris, Kevin, I mean, it just, everything's really starts to make sense once you start to go down this road, because, I mean, how could all that not be there? If these buildings have all these companies in it and all these people, where is everything? And also, most of these people died above the 91st floor, you know, thousands of people. This should be, you know, on top of the rubble. On top of the rubble, there should be some bodies. There should be a cavern of you know, 200, 300 bodies. And there's none of that. There's none of that. You never heard the reporters in the couple days after, oh, we had to stop. They came to a cavern of bodies up here. It was the people that were apparently trapped here. You have none of that. You have them telling you that everything turned to dust. You have them telling you things got pushed into the basement when, you know, it's a fact that things did not get pushed into the basement. There were a lot of questions about 9/11, even though when I thought I knew it all, and I thought, you know, I was telling everybody the truth and the controlled demolition stories and all that, there was still a lot of questions, like, why was there an actor playing a witness? Why was there all this digitized imaging? Why a fake plane? Why no debris? Why, you know, no evidence of a plane here or there or there? And it's all simple, because it was all a movie. Okay, they didn't use any planes on 9/11. They just said they did. I mean, it's that simple. They only had to fake one of them on the TV besides the one in the Naudette Brothers film, which supposedly was the first plane. They just happened to be in the perfect position to catch that at the perfect time.
All right, we have to step away for break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith. My guest this evening, Brian Stavely. We're on Final Approach, ladies and gentlemen, meaning, of course, we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. And, Brian, I guess you're probably very acutely aware of the fact that your theory is opening you for the same level of criticism that Dr. Judy Wood has been exposed to.
Yes, I'm definitely aware of that. I've been aware of that before I got into it. I knew, especially when you start talking about, you know, some or most, if not all, I mean, of, you know, a lot of these people are fake. And, you know, I can't get up here and prove all of them, but I mean, there's been thousands of them that have been proven to be frauds. These people, they simply don't exist. This whole thing was made up. It was a movie. They've changed the world with a movie. They've made a movie, and they made it so convincing that it changed the world. But if you can get past the emotional part of it and be willing to look at it all over again and look at the things I'm telling you, you guys will see it. And you guys will be especially taken back by the picture of the Hollow Towers. And I want to talk about that picture for a minute. That's not a Photoshop picture. That picture didn't come from some crazy source on the internet. That picture came from a site called Lera.com, L-E-R-A.com. And if you go there, you'll see that they're structural engineers that take on projects the size of the World Trade Center and others. And if you click on the project tabs on the right, and then you click on World Trade Center on the left when everything changes, you'll see that picture. There's two pictures up there. And the second one, you will see that that is the source of the photo. And you know, they built this advanced, you know, lighting and shutter system up the side of the building. And in 1978, 6 years after completion, I know I said it a few times, but I really want to drive this home. I want you guys to understand what I'm saying here. You have companies that supposedly have thousands of people in them, and they're supposedly on these floors that we later go on to know as the impact zone. And, you know, you are looking at a picture of the building at that time when they are on the occupants report as being there. You can look at the picture of the building and you can see right through the building. Those people aren't there. I mean, those floors don't exist. And, you know, there's no floors. There's no elevator stops there. You have the Vienna art students telling you that the 10 floors above the Mahalo, and these are the same floors that we're talking about here, the same floors.
Okay, well, it's because we're almost out of time. Let me address something we haven't addressed. I've seen the video exposés of this second plane being CGI, and I think yes. They make a very convincing case that it is.
Yes.
What about the first plane, and what about the people who died or who are alleged to have died on those planes?
Well, the people that have alleged to have died on the plane, what I think is, you know, those planes never even took off that day. I mean, there were no planes. And the footage of the second plane, like you said, is very compelling that it's CGI, and it is. And I spent a lot of time on it. And
okay, what
right
about
on the site,
first one?
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, what about the first one?
You know, there's only one people that had it. It was the Naudette brothers, and that was a total forgery, that whole movie. And the people that say that they saw the second plane, if you look at the list of people that saw
No. The first plane.
Okay, yeah, the first plane, the only people that the only footage of it was the Naudette brothers film. That was it. And that whole film was, you know, that was all propaganda. That was all propaganda put out by the people that pulled off the stunt.
Okay, so you're saying that that there were no planes that hit those buildings that day?
Absolutely no planes at all used. Absolutely, I'm saying that. Did a plane take off from Logan Airport and get redirected and land somebody else, and then the people were let off and they went their merry way? Maybe. I don't know. I honestly don't have the total facts on that, but I know for a fact that no plane smashed into those buildings, no plane smashed into the Pentagon, and no plane smashed into a field in Pennsylvania. I mean, there's just no evidence of it anywhere. There's just not. I mean, it just didn't happen. It didn't. And, you know, they didn't need it to happen. That just puts too many variables out of their control.
Well, what about family members of the people that died on those planes or reported to have died on those planes?
Those family members that you see, some of those very people just happen to be the exact people I was telling you about earlier, the same group of parents that you always see. And, you know, when they were supposedly allowed to listen to some of the recording, well, isn't it convenient that they were never allowed to talk about it either? It's all just a farce. Even the woman that's in the meetings always holding up the signs, you know, lies and this and that and the other thing at the 9/11, that's all staged. Those hearings and everything. I mean, it's all Hollywood. The whole thing is Hollywood.
Why would they want to stage the truth movement against 9/11 against the 9/11 report, it would seem to me that they would want people to believe the 9/11 report.
No, because it's controlled opposition, and the way this works with the truth movement is, and I'm glad you asked me that. That's a great question. They all have a common theme, okay? All these people in the truth movement have a common theme, and that theme is that airplanes smashed into the buildings and 3,000 people died that way. So even though it appears that they're arguing with the official story, they're really reassuring. They're reaffirming it. They're backing it up. They're there to hype up that this event happened. And, you know, the people behind it don't care what you believe, because the way they feel, you know, the people that believe the official story, well, they're going to back everything you do. They're going to back the wars. They're going to think we need to go kill all these people. The people that think, you know, the buildings were blown up by the government, well, you know, they think, well, if they kill those people, they'll probably kill me, and I'm not going to talk about it. And ultimately, they are guilty, you know, of, I believe, treason. I mean, we're over in these wars killing all these people over these lies. But, you know, the way they're looking at it, sure, we'll point the finger at ourselves, say we blew up the building with these people, if that's what they want to believe, because if it ever comes down to it, you're never going to be able to prove that they did, because they didn't. They didn't murder those people. And, you know, what they do is no matter what, the truth movement's going to pop up, okay? Maybe not as fast as it did, but people, you know, if their people really did die, the truth movement would pop up, and they would need to control it. And what better way to control it than plant everybody in there ahead of time? And that's what they do. And all of these people, okay, all of them, to a T, man, if you start talking about anything that goes down the angle of a digital deception, a fake airplane, you know, any of this digital deception fakery with the TV and special effects, or anything that starts to lead in the direction of the Hollow Towers, and maybe these towers, you know, were never finished building, you know, they attack you real quick. They use all the same tactics that they accuse the mainstream media of using. They attack your character. They call you names. They call you mentally challenged. And, you know, after finding out that, you know, I'm totally convinced of this. I mean, there's a lot of research beyond. See, we only have 2 hours. We need a 6-hour show for this. I mean, I got so much more to tell you. You know, for everybody out there, you guys just really need to look into the things I'm saying. I mean, this is absolutely true. And when I found out about, you know, all the floors missing and everything, you know, I kind of forgot where I was going. But, you know, I went back and I reassessed my position with everybody in the truth movement, people that I had followed, people that I had watched, and I wanted to see how they reacted to this type of information. So I started using Google and YouTube and just entering their names and entering, like, you know, fake plane, or entering, you know, whatever would bring them down this road. And they just, all of them attack it, call you no planers, call you this, call you that. So what? No plane? Is it that crazy to think that they faked that they put a plane in? That's what they did. I'm sorry. That's what they did. I'm not the crazy one. The crazy ones are the people saying that the planes vaporize. This ain't Star Trek. Planes don't vaporize. Passports can't, you know, not burn. I mean, all this crazy stuff that they say happened, it can't happen. The molten metal, I mean, that's all a lie. Those are all lies. Just like the lies about the debris pile being shipped off overnight when it was already not there. The molten metal story is there with, you know, just to back up the thermite story, to back up the whole other side of it. They control the truth movement from the very beginning.
Okay, Brian, I wish we had more time, but as you noted, we don't. If you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Brian Stavely. The name of the radio broadcast is called The Last American Radio Broadcast. And you can meet Brian out in Los Angeles at the Alchemy Event 2011. There's still time to register, but registration is closing soon. haven't heard the